Amen. We are now beginning our time together today. Amen. And in the absence of Dr. Deb, Dr. Deb has tasked me to sort of lead our time together and sort of coordinate our activities. Sister Ruby is also not online today this morning, I believe. So we're going to start if you all are ready. Amen. Amen. We'll start this morning with the reading of Psalms 100. And it's a psalm for giving grateful praise to our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of Psalms 100, that we may enter into his presence today, that God may bless us tremendously. If someone wants to offer prayer, Sister Ruby, I don't think is on the line. If somebody would like to offer prayer, you can, or I will.
Father.
Amen. Amen, brother.
God, we approach your throne of grace and mercy this morning.
Yes.
God, we come glorifying you. We come praising you because you are God. You are the one and only true and living God. You are the creator of all things. You are our one and our only source. And God, we need you. God, on this journey of life, we cannot make it without you. We are powerless, but you are our power source. God, you are our way maker. You are that lamp unto our feet. You are the light unto our pathway that shines bright into our life and guides us. And we are grateful, God. We are grateful, God, to be called your children. We are grateful and we are tremendously blessed because we are made in your image and in your likeness, God. Out of everything that you created, God, you chose man to deposit your spirit into. And God, we're grateful, but God, we have fallen short. We've missed the mark on many occasions. We've missed the mark even when your Holy Spirit was speaking to us. We did things on our own, and we seek your forgiveness for our sins.
Amen.
And we repent and ask of you, God, to create in us a clean heart, and please renew in us the right spirit. God, we want your Holy Spirit to always guide us. We want your Holy Spirit to take control of our thoughts when our thoughts are not pleasing. God, we need and want your Holy Spirit to guide and direct our tongue, that we will mind our speech and not speak our mind. We need your Holy Spirit, God, to give us that discerning spirit when we are faced with tough decisions to make. We want to make the right decisions based on your spirit leading us. So, Lord, take control of our minds now. And, Lord, as we sit at this table this morning to learn more of your word, I ask that you give us clear understanding. Those things that we're not clear, Lord, we ask that you make them clear. Because we have so many voices at times speaking to us, Lord, but help us. We ask that you calm us so that we can know clearly your voice speaking to us. God, we're so thankful that we have this media that we can dial into and connect with each other. We thank you that you have given us teachers and pastors and apostles and ministers who you have infused with understanding to bring forth your word with simplicity and with understanding. I pray that as we sit at this table that we will just learn more of you. And I pray that when we disconnect from this line that your Holy Spirit will continue to be with us. Jesus, we need you to strengthen us. We need you to heal our bodies, Jesus, because by your strength we're already healed. But when we are going through challenges and it seems as though things are not working out, Jesus, we just ask that you continue to hold us. We ask, God, that you will look upon those families that are going through bereavement right now. We pray that your love will spread from heart to heart, that you will usher in peace into their life. And we pray that you give them the strength for the days to come. God, we pray your blessings upon everyone on this line today. You know each of us because you are omniscient. You have knowledge of all things. You know what our families stand in need of. We ask for your omnipresence to be with us through every challenge, seeing us through. We ask, Father God, for your sovereignty to take control over this country, Lord. Lord, many are burdened. Many are confused. Many are just hurt, Lord, because we have corrupt government. It seems as though, God, things are not working out for a certain class of people. But, God, you are sovereign. And help us with this trust in you. Help us not to look at what the polls are saying. Help us not to listen to what the news media are predicting. Help us not to look to those that we trust in government, but to put our trust solely in you. Because, God, you know what is best. Lord, we just ask now, as the man or woman that bring forth the word to us this morning, I pray that you open his or her mind up freely to teach your word to us. And Jesus, we will forever glorify and praise you because it is because of you, Jesus, that we live and we can enjoy this abundant life. It is because of you, Jesus, that we can do all things because you give us the strength. And our Heavenly Father, we ask this of you and we praise and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Deacon Everett, for that powerful prayer this morning. It lines us up with what God is trying to communicate with us even in today's lesson. God bless you for that wonderful prayer. Powerful, powerful. And Sister Wanda, we will turn to you at this time for the reading of our scripture. Amen.
Amen. Our reading comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 35. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. And it read as follows. Then Josiah announced that the Passover of the Lord would be celebrated in Jerusalem. And so the Passover lamb was slaughtered on the 14th day of the first month. Josiah also assigned a priest to their duties and encouraged them in their work at the temple of the Lord. He issued this order to the Levites, who were to teach all Israel and who had been set apart to serve the Lord. Put the holy ark in the temple that was built by Solomon, son of David, the king of Israel. You no longer need to carry it back and forth on your shoulders. Now spend your time serving the Lord, your God, and his people Israel. Report for duty according to the family divisions of your ancestors, following the direction of King David of Israel and the direction of his son Solomon. Then stand in the sanctuary at the place appointed for your family division and help the families assigned to you as they bring their offerings to the temple. Slaughter the Passover lamb. Purify yourselves and prepare to help those who come. Follow all the directions that the Lord gave through Moses. Then Josiah provided 30,000 lambs and young goats for the people's Passover offerings, along with 3,000 cattle from all the king's own flocks and herds. The king officials also made living contribution to the people, priests and Levites. Hilkiah, Zechariah, and Zenom, the administrators of God's temple, gave the priests 26,000 lambs and young goats and 300 cattle as Passover offerings. The Levites' leader, Kenaiah, and his brother, Shemaiah, and Nathan, as well as Heshbi, Zia, and Zobad, gave 5,000 lambs and young goats and 500 cattle to the Levites for their Passover offerings. When everything was ready for the Passover celebration, the priests and the Levites took their places, organized by their division. As the king had commanded, the Levites then slaughtered the Passover lambs and presented the blood to the priests, who sprinkled the blood on the altar where the Levites prepared the animals. They divided the burnt offerings among the people by their family groups so that they could offer them to the Lord as prescribed in the book of Moses. They did the same with the cattle. Then they roasted the Passover lamb as prescribed, and they boiled the holy offering in pots, kettles, and pans and brought them out quickly so the people could eat them. Afterwards, the king, hold on a second. Oh, wait, hold on 1 second. It moved to another page. Afterwards, the Levites prepared Passover offerings for themselves and for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, because the priests had been busy from morning to night offering the burnt offerings and the fat portions. The Levites took responsibilities for all their preparations. The musicians, descendants of Asaph, as were in their assigned places following the command that had been given by David, Asaph, Heman, and Jubin, the king's seers. The gatekeepers guarded the gates and did not need to leave their full post of duty, for their Passover offerings were prepared for them by their fellow Levites. The entire ceremony for the Lord's Passover was completed that day. All the burnt offerings were sacrificed on the altar of the Lord, as King Josiah had commanded. All the Israelites present in Jerusalem celebrated Passover and the Festival of Unleavened Bread for 7 days. Never since the time of the prophet Samuel had there been such a Passover. None of the kings of Israel had ever kept a Passover as Josiah did, involving all the priests and Levites, all the people of Jerusalem, all the people from all over Jerusalem and Israel, all over Judah and Israel. This Passover was celebrated in the 18th year of Josiah's reign. May the Lord have a blessing to the reader's word. Through his word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister One, for reading our holy scripture today, coming from our text in 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verses 1 through 19. What powerful scriptures to be read. I pray that it was in our hearing that we heard the word of the Lord as you read it to us today. Amen. Amen. If Brother Al is on the line, Brother Al, will you bring a song of praise for us today? Amen. Amen. If Brother Al is not with us, Brother Al, if he's not with us, then I will ask Brother Everett, Deacon Everett, if you're on the line still, if you can sing a song of praise for us. Amen.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place.
Yes.
And I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, stay right here with us. Thank you, Lord. Filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts and praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived. when we shall leave this place.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. What a sweet spirit in this place today. Amen. Thank you all for ushering into our presence. Hallelujah. And if Brother Al calls in later as we move toward the end of our time of sharing today, we would also ask that he would bless us again with another song if possible. Amen. God bless you, Deacon Everett. Hallelujah. What a blessing today. Hallelujah. It's such a blessed time to be on the line with all of the saints again today. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we are glad we rejoice in the day. Amen. I have the responsibility to share the word of God with you today. Amen. It's just my prayer that as we walk through this particular lesson today, that God will reveal to us those things in his word that will bless us, to encourage us to be even more thankful for who God is in our lives, and to give us confidence and assurance that he's in control of everything. Today's lesson title is Josiah Celebrates the Passover. Amen. As Sister Wanda has read our scripture text, it was such a powerful text. If you listen to it, the things that were occurring to the, it really was a culmination of Josiah's reign, because this was in the near the middle, toward the end of his reign, but not quite at the end. He still had a few more years to go, but a lot had happened in the life of Josiah. So we're going to learn some things about Josiah, and we're going to appreciate the power of his spirit and what God has done in and through this king of Israel. Amen. Amen. It's such a blessing to see how his life unfolded before us. There was a devotional reading to our lesson with Psalms 85, and I hope that if you all had received the lesson or you have these lessons early, that you would read through some of the scripture readings that was recommended, amen, that we read. And I had read Psalms 85 and found that it was a powerful psalm. It was for the director of music of the Sons of Korah. And I want to read that psalm to us. It's a short psalm. I just want to read that before we get into the lesson, as I do some things just kind of set the mood even more for what we are going to receive. The scripture reads this way in Psalms 85. You, Lord, showed favor to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turn from your fierce anger. Restore us again, God, our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants. But let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord would indeed give us what is good, and our land would yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. Hallelujah. What a powerful song. What a beautiful song. What an encouraging song in calling upon the Lord to bless us. And I read through that psalm. I hope you were thinking, even in our lives today, as I heard in the prayer by Deacon Everett, as he referred to situations that are going on in our world today, even here in these United States of America. We do not put our trust in man, but we put our trust in God, and we cry out to our God to save us, to restore us, to not be angry with us, that we would turn away from folly and wickedness, that we might turn our face to our God. What a beautiful psalm. Amen. Amen. Well, as we look at this psalm and we move into our lesson as we look at Josiah, you know, I want you all to kind of focus on a couple of things. I'll give you some thoughts want you as you go through it, and hopefully you'll have something to share with us that the Lord has blessed you with in revealing something through the scripture lesson today. We know as we're talking about Josiah as being one of the kings of Judah who brought religious reforms to the nation of Judah. And we know that we're going to read through some things, and I guess I want you to be focused on some of the idols and gods that were destroyed. I want you to think about that in terms of the idols that we have today in our lives and how idolatry still affects us even today. We may not have the specific Canaanite deities like Baal, Asherah. We may not worship the sun, the moon, and the stars like they did, or Moloch, Chemosh, Asherah, or even serving those gods that were of the Canaanites and the Sidonians and the Amorites. But we have our own idols that we worship. We even have a show that's called American Idol. And so we have shows that even speak to focusing on idolatry when it comes to people and fame and fortune. Amen. But we want to focus on that as we go through our lesson today. We'll go back to the previous chapter, actually, and then we're going to find out a little bit more about Josiah as we're coming out the book of Second Chronicles. As we know, some of this story about Josiah is carried in Second Kings in chapters 22 and 23, where some of the things that we'll talk about in Second Chronicles is expanded in Second Kings. But we'll try to use this particular portion as we are dealing with the Chronicles, which focuses on the kings of the southern kingdom. My brothers and sisters, you may remember that it was only three kings that ruled the total kingdom united together. That was Saul, David, and Solomon. And we know that after Solomon's reign, when his son Rehoboam was taking the throne, there was trouble, there was rebellion, there was strife, there was division, and its kingdom split in two. 10 of the tribes went to the north to form what was called Israel, the northern kingdom, and Judah and Benjamin in the south forming the southern kingdom. So they were split. And so most of the history of 1 Kings and 2 Kings and 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles is going through talking about these kings and how they reigned and ruled in Israel. Some of the kings in the southern kingdom, some of them were good kings, but some of them were bad kings. In the northern kingdom, there never was one that was considered a good king. All of them were considered not worthy of God's blessing upon them. But yet God, knowing that he had chose these people to be his, he tried to keep them in position, in place, in the promise that he had made them through the covenant that he had made with them. Amen. Amen. He had given them laws and rules to govern them by at Mount Sinai through Moses. Moses, the lawgiver. The lawgiver. Amen. And their offerings that they were to offer to him as part of their sacrificial worship of God. So we're talking about worship today. So let's, and as we come before the Lord, we worship, and we know that the scripture talks in the New Testament when Jesus had confronted the woman at the well, and he talked to her about worshiping the Lord, how it should be. That worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. So we should always want to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen, amen. So we'll talk about that a little bit as well. So let's move into our lesson as time will be spent. We're going to start, if you will, in your Bibles. I'm going to ask you if you have your Bible that we go back and let's look at a few passages in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, before Josiah moves to the culmination of worshiping and celebrating the Passover. We want to know a little bit about this king. Who was this king, Josiah? Yes, it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 in verse 1 that Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. Yes, this Josiah was the son of Ammon, who was a bad king. But Ammon didn't serve very long. Ammon was 22 years when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for just 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, just as his father, Manasseh, who was actually Josiah's grandfather. And so Ammon worshiped those items that his father had made, and there was a conspiracy against him, and he was assassinated 2 years later. And the people of the land killed all who had plotted against Ammon, and then they made Josiah, his son, king in his place. Yes, Josiah was the grandson of Manasseh. Yeah, Manasseh was a really bad king. He was 12 years of age when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 55 years. So he had a long time to spur evil among the people of Judah. Yes, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, detestable practices. Yes, Manasseh built altars in the temple of the Lord, which is where the Lord had said that his name would remain in Jerusalem forever. But yet Manasseh showed disrespect to God by putting idols inside altars to sacrifice to foreign gods, Canaanite gods, these pagan gods inside of God's house. Makes me think today, what are we bringing into the church today, church? Hallelujah, amen. What kind of stuff are we bringing into the church? Are we bringing things that God would consider to be acceptable to him in his house? Amen. We built these buildings that we call churches to be houses of God. So for those of you who attend a church, building a church, it's supposed to be a sanctified holy place. It's a place that people come together to gather together to worship our God. And we should not bring those things that are of the world and pagan things into the temple. I hope you're thinking so that you can share some things that you may feel that we're bringing into our worship today that's not of God. Amen. So Manasseh was a very bad king, and he built all these altars and all of these pagan gods. He had built so much to the point that the Lord spoke to him and his people, but they paid no attention to what God was saying. God tried to get his attention, son, that you need to stop doing this stuff. So the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria. They took Manasseh prison. And when they took him prison as a prisoner, they put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. Yes, at that time the Syrians were in power. God allowed them to come and take him. And in his distress, while he was a prisoner, he sought the favor of the Lord, his God, and he humbled himself greatly before the God of his ancestors. Manasseh, at that time, it was probably toward the end of his reign when God brought judgment upon him. He had done so much in those 55 years. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when you got so much bad going on in the land, even if the leader repents at some point, there's still going to be some consequences for the nation going forward. Yes, but he tried to recover at that point to some extent. He got rid of those foreign gods and removed the images from the temple of the Lord, as well as all the altars he had built on the Temple Hill and in Jerusalem, and he threw them all out the city. Didn't say he destroyed it, but he threw him out the city, and he restored the altar of the Lord and sacrificed fellowship offerings and thanks offerings on it And he told Judah, the country, to serve the Lord, the God of Israel. So there we see a repented part of his life, but so much had been done because the people still continued to sacrifice in the high places, you know. So they still did some things. And as we see, when his son Amon became king, he reinstituted those things that his father Manasseh had done. It didn't take long because they probably could just pull him back in and began to worship these foreign gods. So we see here that Josiah didn't have any really good examples by which to go by. His father wasn't a good king, didn't serve long, was a young man when he died. Yes, he was young. If he was 22 years and only served two, then he was somewhere around 24 years of age when he died. So he was still young. But Manasseh, he served as king for 55 years, started at 12 years of age. So he was around 67 years of age when he died. But yes, he had done so much in those years that he served as king. But there was a great-grandfather that was a good king, and that was Hezekiah. So this Josiah's great-grandfather, Hezekiah, was a good king. And as we read through the text here, as we start in 34, we know that Josiah was 8. Let's see how God dealt with him in his early years, even before he got to celebrate the Passover. In verse number 3 in chapter 34, 2 Chronicles, verse number 3, it says, in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, Josiah began to seek the God of his father David. Yes, notice they always relate him to David and not even his close lineage fathers because of how he was following God and how he followed the ways of David. And so it puts him back as an ancestor of David, that he sought the God of his father David. In his 12th, so let me say this. So if that was in his 8th year of reign, that means that Josiah was now 16 years of age. So at 16, he's at that point in life, he's beginning to look and try to understand and even reason things even more. I believe that here, his father having died so young at 24 and he had to be placed in the role of the king, that he had a lot of advisors and tutors around him, people who were sharing with him things about God. I believe some of them probably were part of some of the Reformation of Manasseh and maybe even got sick of this foreign God worship that they may have shared with him. Maybe, but his mother was married to Ammon. You know, his mother, I don't know if she was one who shared things with him. We don't know. But we know something was working in the heart of Josiah, even as a young child. And, it kind of reminds me of Samuel, when we go back to the beginning of 1 Samuel. Samuel, when God was calling Samuel, Eli was the priest. He was a high priest, but he had no power over there because God spoke directly to Samuel. I don't know. Maybe God was speaking to Josiah. But we'll go along and see how this all affected Josiah's life. So he was 16, and then the next verse tells us in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of all the high places, all the Asherah poles and idols. So now in his 18th year, he's now 20 years of age in his 12th year. Correction there. In the 12th year, he's now 18. So 12 years reigning, starting at 8 years, he's 20 years of age. And Dr. Singleton then sent out a chart to kind of reflect what we are going through right here in chapter 24 as we see Josiah maturing. And so in this 12th year of his reign, at the age of 20, he began to purged the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem for all of these foreign idols and these places where they sacrifice and worship. And it says in verse 4, under his direction, the altars of Baal were torn down. He cut to pieces the incense altars that were above them. and he smashed the Asherah poles and the idols. Yes, when I think about Manasseh, he threw them out of the city, but Josiah said, no, we're going to destroy them. We're not just going to tear them down. We're going to destroy them and break them in pieces. It said that he broke to pieces and scattered over the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He scattered those pieces over the graves of those who sacrificed. Listen to Josiah's passion for whatever God is doing in his life right then. He decided that he is going to throw the pieces of these altars over them to say, this is not good. This is rejected by us. What a powerful move there. He burned the bones. In verse number 5, he burned the bones of the priests on the altars so that he purged Judah and Jerusalem. Yes, listen what he's doing there. He burned the bones of the priests on the altars, these pagan altars. Listen, these priests had been serving, and a lot of them were already dead, so he dug up their bones. What they call that, exhuming the body, the bones, and he burnt them on the altars. What is he doing when he burnt those bones on those altars? He's making them unfit for use. They become defiled and desecrated. They cannot be used. So he's saying, I'm going to make it where this stuff can't be used. So he's trying to purge this evil from Judah and Jerusalem. But he didn't stop there. His passion. Josiah was passionate about this thing. Verse 6, it said, and in the towns of Manasseh and Ephraim, yes, and Simeon, and as far as Naphtali, and in the ruins around them, everywhere, he tore down the altars and the Asherah poles, and he crushed the idols to powder and cut to pieces all the incense altars throughout Israel. Listen to him. Then he went back to Jerusalem. So that means he left the territory of Judah. He went up to the northern part. At this time, my brothers and sisters, the northern kingdom had been conquered by the Assyrians, and they had repopulated the land, but there were still some Israelites there. There still was a remnant. So he felt, because it had to do with the worship of the God of Israel, that he would go even up to the northern parts, some of these cities. They're in the northern kingdom. He went up there and destroyed these foreign idols and these foreign altars. He went up there to destroy them because he's trying to stamp out this evil that is in Israel. He's passionate about it. And so after he went throughout Israel, the northern kingdom, doing this, he came back to Jerusalem. And verse 8 tells us that in the 18th year of Josiah's reign, yes, to purify the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, son of Azaliah, and Asaiah, the ruler of the city, with Joah, son of Jehoahaz, the recorder, to repair the temple of the Lord his God. Yes. So in the 18th year of his reign, now he's 26 years of age. Look at him maturing. Don't we wish we had young people that were growing up wanting to seek the Lord like Josiah, seeking him and hearing God and then being able to continue to grow and have a passion for the things that are not of God and to remove them from their lives and not participate and be a part of those things, whether it be music that degrades our God and our people and our women and our just shows violence and all these things. Wouldn't it be nice if we have kids that would grow up, a generation? This is a guy that's growing up. I'm sure there were other kids his age looking at him as the king. He became a model for them just like the bad kings did, but he was a good, passionate young man, had his heart right with God. And I remember interviewing in the prayer this morning as Deacon Everett was praying, creating us a clean heart and renewed right spirit in us. But Josiah had a spirit in him that was for God's glory. Amen. So in this 18th year, yes, he sent he sent them to Shaphan, the ruler of the city, Messiah, and he sent them the recorder. They wanted to repair the temple of the Lord, his God, or the Lord, their God, it should have been. And when they got when they were sent out to purify the land in the temple, when they got to the temple, they ran into Hilkiah, the high priest, and they gave him the money that they had brought into the temple of God. So they had money to help them that they were able to collect from people giving their free will offering. It kind of reminds me that we always should give everything that we can to God's work and to God. We give our time, we give our talents, but we also give the treasures that he has blessed us with. We give a portion of that back to him to bless the work. So they gave this, and the Levites, who were the gatekeepers, had collected from the people of Manasseh, Ephraim, and the entire remnant of Israel. So even they collected some of the money for those in the northern kingdom. Ephraim was another way of talking about the northern kingdom is Israel and the remnant, and from all the people of Judah and Benjamin and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So there's a remnant. God always has a remnant in the land. Amen. And so they were able to collect from them monies to go to try to do this work. And so I'm not going to spend too much time there. I would encourage you to read through that whole chapter, but let's look at a couple other pieces in that chapter. We're just going to skip down here. Verse 5, he said, I'm skipping ahead a little bit too far. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 34, amen, verse number 14. Let's go there. Amen. Let's go there. I don't want to get to 35 yet. So let's go there in 34. This is a key passage when it comes to Josiah's life. Got to remember, this is in the 18th year of his reign. He's 26 years of age. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, it says, while they were bringing out the money that had been taken into the temple of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that had been given through Moses. My Lord, something got discovered in the temple. Where was this book? Where was the scripture? Where was the word of God, the book and law of Moses that they had discovered at this time? As they were going through cleaning up and beginning the renovation of the temple to get all the idols out of there and all the altars out of there and had started to work on it to bring it back to the construction that Solomon had put together, they were searching through and they found this book. Hilkiah, the high priest, found this book of the law. My brothers and sisters, it would be like, what would we be like if we did not have the word of God? My goodness, that would be something. But we want to make sure that we always keep it where we have it and we can reach it. And we ought to hide the word of God in our heart that we might not sin against him. So it may come a day when we might find that somebody's tried to suppress the word of God. And it says in verse 15 that Hilkiah said to Shaphan, the secretary, that I found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. And he gave it to Shaphan. And Shaphan took it back to Josiah and reported to him. And he let him know that his officials were doing everything that he had been committed them to do. And they had paid out the money as was required in the temple. And then Shaphan told King Josiah that Hilkiah the priest gave him a book. That's in verse number 18. And Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. Oh, my goodness. And when he read the scripture to him, and when Josiah heard the words of the law, he tore his robe in anguish. Yes, he was just realizing just how bad they had done. And he gave orders to Hilkiah, Ahikam, son of Japhan, and Abdon, son of Micah, Shaphan, the secretary, and Asaiah, the king's attendant. He said, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the remnant of Israel and Judah about what is written in this book that had been found. My brother says, I could imagine that where Shaphan was reading from was somewhere in Deuteronomy, maybe Deuteronomy chapter 28. Maybe he was reading the blessings that they should get and the curses that they would get if they did not follow what God had told them to do in his law. Yes, indeed. And so he told them to go and inquire the Lord. And then they found, and he said that great is the anger of the Lord that has been poured out on us because those who have gone before us, my father, my grandfather, have not kept the word of the Lord. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written in this book. And Achaiah and those the king had sent with him went to speak to the prophet Huldah, yes, to the woman of God, yes, who was the wife of Shallum, the son of Tokhath, yes, the son of Hasra, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in the Jerusalem in the new quarter, and she told them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, talking about Josiah, this is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on this place and its people. All the curses written in the book that has been read in the presence of the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods. Yes, they burned incense to other gods and aroused my anger by all that their hand have made. My anger will be poured out on this place and will not be quenched. Yes, then the king of Judah, yes, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the king, Josiah. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before God, when you heard what he spoke against this place and his people, and because you humbled yourself before me and tore your robes and wept in my presence. Oh, he was crying when he tore his robes. I have heard you, declares the Lord. A broken and contrite heart God will not despise, the psalmist tells us, David, in Psalm 51. Now I will gather you to your ancestors, Josiah, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I'm going to bring on this place and on those who live here. So they took the answer back to Josiah. And when Josiah had called all the elders of Judah together in Jerusalem, he called everybody together. And he went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah and all the inhabitants of the priests and the Levites and all the people from the least to the greatest. He took everybody up there with him. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant. Now, it's the law, but it's the covenant that God had made with them at Mount Sinai. So he read it to them, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. And the king stood by his pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord. He said, God, I want to restore this covenant. God, I want to be in this covenant with you. We have a covenant with God through Jesus Christ. We want to keep that covenant fresh. And he said that we want to follow the Lord and keep all his commandments, statutes, and decrees with all his heart and soul, and to obey the covenant written in this book. So the king renewed the covenant by telling the Lord that he was going to keep his commandments, statutes, and decrees and all with all his heart and all his soul and all his might, and to obey the words of the covenant that was written in the book. Then he had everyone in Jerusalem and Benjamin to pledge themselves to this covenant. And the people of Jerusalem did this in accordance with the covenant of God, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Josiah removed all the detestable idols from all the territory belonging to the Israelites. And he had all who were present in Israel to serve the Lord their God. In the Hebrew, that's Jehovah their Elohim. Yes, their creator. All alone. He said, as long as he lived, they did not fail to follow the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Isn't that a beautiful build up to him coming to the Passover? Yes, he had got rid of all those detestable idols, the Baal, the Asherahs, this sun and moon and stars, the worship of that was even brought into the temple of God. Yes, we even remember that back in Ezekiel. That comes later in the time period, but Ezekiel brings that to the, as the Spirit of God revealed that to him. Moloch, that's the god associated with child sacrifice. Yes, when they would pass the, they said through the fire, they would offer their children up to Moloch, and their babies, they would put them in the hands of this god shaped like a, has his hands out in fire, and they would put their children in the fire. The music would be so loud so they could not hear the screams of the children. Yes, what an awful worship they had going. And then Chemosh and all of these gods. Josiah had purged the land. He had purged the land of these idols. And then we get to our lesson today, our text today in 2 Chronicles chapter 35. Yes, here, after he had purged the land, he had committed them back to the covenant of God. He had committed himself to God to serve him and to obey his statutes and his law. Then it says in chapter 35, 2 Chronicles, verse 1, Josiah celebrated the Passover. He's ready to celebrate, y'all, because he knows he has purged them. Now it's time to do what God said, how they were supposed to come before him and worship. So he celebrated the Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem. And the Passover lamb was slaughtered on the 14th day of the first month, according to the word of God. Listen, and we know that the Passover, this particular a feast was designed and commanded that they would observe it annually after they had come out of Egypt. Yes, when the last plague against the Egyptians was wrought upon them by God, it was the curse of the firstborn, the death of the firstborn. They were to take this lamb and they were to kill it, sacrifice it. It was, and then they would draw the blood and then they would put the blood on the doorpost so that when the death angel came through, it would pass over them. Yes, they would not see death in their home. Praise be to our God. And we too have a sacrifice. Jesus Christ became our Passover lamb. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I want to revert back to a scripture. Amen. Amen. In our New Testament, I'm reading in your ears, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, talks about your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? So get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch, as you really are, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old leavened bread with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. My brothers and sisters, we're going to see that after they celebrate the Passover, which is that day, they will go into the time of unleavened bread, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So to celebrate this, as the text that was read to us today, he appointed priests to their duties to encourage them in the service of the Lord's temple. Look here, the king is encouraging the priests to do the duties. They got so far away from doing God's thing that the priests who had a heart for God had to encourage them to do the things of God, and sometimes that is as it be. We want our priests and those that are supposed to be speaking God's word to us to lead us in the ways of God, but sometimes it takes somebody else, the king. He was a king. And all of us have to realize that when we're in leadership positions, all leadership in God's kingdom is servant leadership. Yes, Josiah was going to serve the Lord, and he's encouraging the priest to get back to the ways of God and to be able to serve him. So he encouraged them in their duties. And he even told the Levites, who instructed all Israel, that they had to be consecrated to the Lord. Yes, when you're in a leadership position, you should be consecrated. We say, to whom much is given, much is required. And those of us who take on leadership role, we must consecrate ourselves. But all of us are part of the royal priesthood and the holy nation before God. So let all of us consecrate ourselves before the Lord. Let us be more better servants of God, to have a heart like Josiah for the things that are not of God. He said, put the sacred ark in the temple that Solomon son of David, king of Israel, have built. Put it back in there. It is not to be carried about on your shoulders. Yes, you just can't carry the ark in it. Y'all remember that when this temple was dedicated back during Solomon's time, they had the staves. And even before that, we know they carried him the wrong way. Yes, he's trying to put the presence of God back into the house of God. God probably had departed the house. They were doing so much stuff in there, worshiping other idols. Sometimes in our worship in our churches, God probably not even there. They're just going through the motion of service. It's going through the motion of worship. Is God in the place? Is the power of God in the place? Is the Holy Spirit in the place? It should be, because all of us, too, individually are temples of the Holy Spirit. Can God dwell in an unclean place? No. We must be purged. We must keep our minds, our hearts pure before God so the Holy Spirit will rule and reign in our lives. Somebody ought to say amen. Now, he said, you can't carry him on the shoulder, but we got to put it back into the Holy of Holies. I don't know. It doesn't tell us whether or not the ark was taken out while they were doing repairs or whatever the case might be. They never say that it was ever destroyed, but we know that one of the evil kings, Ahaz, had tried to destroy some of these things in the temple. But apparently the Ark of the Covenant was there. It was safe somewhere, and they put it back into the Holy of Holies. And he said, now serve the Lord your God. Now serve the Lord your God and his people, Israel. Prepare yourselves. Stand in the holy place in verse 5. Yes, stand in the holy place with each group of Levites. What he was doing is putting everybody, what they call in courses. They were reading this Old Testament. God was detailed in Leviticus on what everybody of the Levitical tribe was supposed to do. The high priest had their job to do, and the other portions and the other tribe, other parts had their duties, but those that were Levites had, each one of them had different courses and each work to do. You can call the shifts that they came in to do this work or whatever they were doing. They were reinstituting the Levitical priesthood in the right way that it should be in the land and the right way that it should be in Jerusalem in the temple of God. They were putting it back together. And they began to slaughter the Passover lambs. They were slaughtering so many lambs. They were doing this, remember, to commemorate the Passover, what God had done to bring them out of bondage out of Egypt. Now they had reinstituted the Passover. There were other kings, by the way, who did get notoriety for a Passover celebration. We know that Hezekiah celebrated Passover. We know that Solomon celebrated Passover. So Solomon had a Passover. As a matter of fact, when it came to sacrifice, in our text, it talks about she was talking about all the number that they had. I was trying to add it up as she was going. I came up with somewhere close to 40,000 sacrifices that were being, you know, animals that were being sacrificed in celebration here. That's a lot. That's a lot. Now, if I remember correctly, when Hezekiah did it, it was somewhere around 19 or 20,000 that were sacrificed. But Solomon, when they celebrated Passover, it was 142,000 when they celebrated the temple in the Passover. Yes, yes. And then, let me see if I can move on, my brothers and sisters. So they celebrated by sacrificing. We bring our sacrifices to God. That is our worship to him. Yes, it is. It is our sacrifice. It is our offering. So we offer a sacrifice to God. And so they were instituting different ones. Listen, this one that was for Passover, amen, was like a fellowship offering that was in Leviticus, or the peace offering. Yes, it celebrates reconciliation. And the others participate in eating the offering. So after they killed the lamb, and the priest had to be skilled in killing the lamb so the lamb would die quickly. It wasn't like a suffering. The lamb would die quickly, and they would drain the blood, and then they would take the meat. Yes. Now, some part, they had to do it just like God told them in Leviticus, but the meat that they could consume, they had to go, the families would take their portion, and go and eat that before the Lord. They ate that all there at the temple. Isn't that something? They celebrated and ate before the Lord the sacrifice, and they offered the sacrifice to God as a peace offering, a reconciliation to him. So this celebration of Passover coming into being first was to reconcile them to God. But Josiah had this thing down. He said, we're going to do this. Everybody's going to learn what they have to do, and you're going to be in your proper place. When we should be in our proper place when it comes to the kingdom of God. We should be in our proper place when it comes to serving God. All of us need to find what it is that we're to do and be in our proper place. Yes, so there were five major offerings that were in the Old Testament. I'll just name them real quick to you. You had a burnt offering, the grain offering, the fellowship offering, the sin offering, and the guilt offering. That's all in Leviticus chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, I think, and 5. Amen. So these different offerings were offered. Yes. Yes, but we too have an offering. Jesus became our sacrificial lamb. Oh, yes. Do you remember in John, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Yes, he became our Passover lamb. Isn't God all right? We love Jesus. Jesus died for us, for God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Somebody ought to shout about that. That's something to shout. And just to realize the heart of Josiah. And yes, they went on and they sacrificed this thing. So in verse 16 in of our text today, it says, so that that time the entire service of the Lord was carried out for the celebration of the Passover and the offering of burnt offerings on the altar of the Lord, as Josiah had offered. See, now they had the Passover offering, then they had the burnt offering. The burnt offering is when everything is consumed. They would skin the animal and take the skin off and give it to the priest. Got to remember, some of these offerings were designed so the priest could get benefit because they were dedicated to the work of the temple and to the work of God. And so they had to be taken care of. And so some of these offerings, part of the offering was given to them to consume or to take it. But in the case of the burnt offering, everything was on the altar consumed in the fire. Yes, yes. I used to love it when I used to read in the Bible in the text sometimes it say the fat belongs to the Lord. Yes, it did. Yeah, I used to mess with my wife sometime when we had some meat that had fat on it. I said, the fat belongs to the Lord. And I, yes, sir. But I like to eat the fat of the meat. Somebody ought to say amen. Maybe y'all don't eat the fat, but I used to say amen. But the fat, all the other stuff belonged to the Lord. In the case of the burnt offering, it's all consumed before God, all of it. None of it is left over. Amen. So we see that that's what they did at that time. And then the Israelites who were present celebrated the Passover at the time and observed the festival of unleavened bread for 7 days. Oh, they had something. They had a celebration going on. It's just like it is, just like we do. You know, we come up to Passover. Yes, Passover. And then we have the unleavened bread, the Feast of Weeks. That's 7 days. They're celebrating. And that's when they would have to take the bread and the bread, they had to make the bread where it didn't have any yeast in it. As a matter of fact, they had to remove all the yeast out of their homes. But going back to the Passover, they also had unleavened bread. Yes, that was part of the ritual that they had to do when God told them to have unleavened bread. That also give them a couple of signs of something that's taking place in their life. Number one, the deliverance was going to be quick, so they couldn't have time to put the other stuff together to make the bread a certain way. They just had it with unleavened bread, and they had to put it there so that they were ready to go and take it. Also, anything that has yeast in it will be corrupted, and it also will spoil. Amen. It will spoil quickly. So there was things that they had to do, and there were reasons why they had to do it. Amen. As part of this worship, that unleavened bread. Yes, that unleavened bread speaks to us of a new life, as I just read in First Corinthians. So we're to live unleavened life. It's also a symbol of not having sin in it. Yes. So we should be purged of sin. You know, a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. Yes, it will. So we try to keep that sin out, yes, and walk in the newness of life We are new creatures because we have been born again of the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to encourage to close this lesson today. Oh, I just got into this thing today. I love this lesson. Josiah was an awesome young man, an awesome king of Israel. Yes, the Passover, he said in verse 18, the Passover had not been observed like this in Israel since the days of the prophet Samuel. And none of the kings of Israel had ever celebrated such a Passover as did Josiah. Yes, he did. With the priests and the Levites and all the Judah and Israel who were there with the people of Jerusalem. Now, they didn't say that nobody didn't have more animals to sacrifice, but nobody celebrated it like they did. Oh, yes, they were all in. Yes, he brought them. Josiah led them into this renewal of the covenant, this purging of the sin in Israel. They purged the evil out of Israel for that moment. And as long as he was reigning, long as he was king, it was going to be observed. Isn't that all right? We need good leaders in our churches. We need good leaders for our country. We need good leaders for the world. But we know that man fails us, but God is always faithful. So we thank God for this story of Josiah. And I just pray that God would encourage us today to have a heart like Josiah, to have passion like Josiah, to see God like Josiah did. Yes, to serve God like he did, to come into a knowledge. When we come into the knowledge of our error, let us not fight against the knowledge of the truth. Let us confess it and confess it, knowing that our God is faithful and just to forgive us for any unrighteousness and to cleanse us from that unrighteousness, to purge us. Amen. Amen. And to restore us into the fellowship with him. This thing was about fellowshipping with God. Passover was about bringing them in fellowship with God and remembrance of who God was. There were seven feast days, but these two were powerful. This kind of kicked it off anyway. Passover, unleavened bread, amen. Feast of first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement. All of these things, the Feast of Booths, tabernacles. People did these feasts to commemorate things. And it's not anything wrong with having feast days or things that we do in a ritualistic form, as long as it's honoring and glorifying God. Every song that's sung in the church is not a song that glorifies God. Everything that we do in life doesn't necessarily glorify God. But when we bring stuff before God, we want him to be able to accept it. So I don't, you know, people talk about rituals and traditions and things like that. Well, you got it. Sometimes you have things that you do because that's what God has instituted for people to do, or you do it because you want to give honor and glory to your God. Yes, let us have a heart to know that we have been blessed by our God. He has saved us from our sins. He has made us right with him through the blood of Jesus Christ. He has brought us back in fellowship through the Passover lamb. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb. Isn't that beautiful? So we can celebrate our Passover. When we commune with one another and we break the bread and we drink the wine, we're reminded of the sacrifice that the Lord made, for he was the holy Lamb of God. Yet behold, the Lamb of God, he took away the sins of the world, and he took away my sin and yours, my brothers and sisters. If there's anyone who does not know the Lord, I just pray that they would draw closer to him, that they would seek the Lord, and that the Lord would bring them into a knowledge of who he is, that they can receive him and confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus died for their sin and God resurrected him from the dead. We want to believe that we can share that gospel to other people. Yes, because we have the passion of Josiah. He didn't just sit around and just take care of just his own household. He went out to other people. He went out to the northern king. He said, they're my brothers and sisters up there too. I'm going to go destroy that evil stuff. Look at what Josiah did. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to set this down, my brothers and sisters. I'm just so thankful to be able to share this lesson with you. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. I just pray that God has blessed us. It's my prayer. Here's my prayer point. Was in the psalm. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. My prayer point in Psalms 85. Restore us again, God our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger throughout generations? Will you not revive us again? We need revival, that your people may rejoice in you. My brothers and sisters, let us continue to rejoice in our Lord. He is so worthy of our praise, and we can rejoice in knowing that he loves us eternally, and we will be eternally with him. I pray in Jesus' name. Our God, our Father, I thank you, Father, for this opportunity to share. I thank you for all that we've done here today. We hope that it was pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O God, because you are our strength and our Redeemer. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for allowing death to pass us over so that we have eternal life. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for the lives that you are building in us, Father. Your Spirit, Holy Spirit, we thank you for what you're doing in us, guiding, directing, teaching us, showing us, revealing to us those things that's of our God, our Father in heaven. So, Father, we thank you today. Bless everybody on this line under the sound of my voice, oh God, that we would continue to go forth to be the people of God that you call us to be. I ask this prayer in faith in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, Sister Cora, hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Good
Amen.
Word. Praise God for the word this morning. Amen. Amen. You know what I'm taking away this morning is how Josiah, he thought he knew what God wanted. And that was the beginning. He began to do what he thought God wanted. But, oh, what a blessing when he discovered what God really wanted. He knew then what God wanted, and he kept right on going. I mean, he really took up the mantle and just went forth, you know. So that I see that is the way, if I think that this is what God wants, I can start with that. You know, and then if I think it and I'm starting that way, then God will bring the light before me where I can see clearly that, yeah, this is what I want. So that's what I get out of the lesson this morning. Praise God for you. Very good teaching this morning. Amen.
Amen. Mother Cora, that was so powerful. When you were talking, I had a vision in my mind of a stick shift. You know, you got to go through the gears. I thought I knew first gear, second gear. I think I'm gonna keep going until I get the overdrive. Josiah went in overdrive, didn't it? Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that. Thank you for that nugget. Amen.
God is good. Amen. Praise God.
Yes, hallelujah! Overdrive. When we learn that was so powerful. When we get to know more about what God desires of us.
Right.
It can make us do it even better.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? I want to throw something in here before we know we got to get to Uncle John. We want to see if anybody else has a thought in here. Amen. I don't know who's on the line. Anybody?
You know, it's so important that we study this word ourselves. There's so much that has been allowed to enter into God's house now that is destroying the moral fabric of our society.
Mm-hmm.
Everything needs to be done in decency and order according to the biblical principles of God, not according to what society is dictating, not according to what we see on social media platforms. I see a shift, and it's been going on since the pandemic, with people feeling as though that they don't have to attend church, that they can watch church on the television or on the internet. And the word said, do not forsake the assembly. And when you're looking at a TV screen, the Spirit can move on you, and I'm not going to say that the Spirit can't. But there's nothing like being around a body of believers, true believers, that can reach out and pray for you. And when your spirits are in the same building connecting together, you know, you feel a great sense of relief. And the social media platforms and viewing the telecast without entering a church building has made people, in my opinion, it is my opinion, they're not strong. They're not strong enough to deal with the many challenges of life. If you're walking through something and you need to talk to somebody face to face, you can't go back and dial channel 13 and get your answer. When opposed to you being in the sanctuary, you're going to a brother and sister, hey, I got a need. This is what's going on. And I think that we are in a critical time of our life that we need to gather more, have more prayer and worship service in person, corporate prayer in person. Those that can't get out to the church, I understand that, but those that are physically fit, that they can get up and drive, or catch a cab or Uber, whatever, those are the ones that really need to be in church, physical church. But people have taken this social media and being able to worship church at home, they've just taken it to the extreme, to the point now they don't have any sustenance. Many of them don't. I'm not saying all, but many of them don't. They wonder why things, well, I ain't got to go to church. I ain't got to deal with all them hypocrites. Well, regardless of what your view about them, whether they're hypocrites or not, that's not for you to make that decision. Yes, we have people in our family that's hypocrites. We have hypocrites on the job. And if you're going to church to look at the person and to worship the person, you're going to church for the wrong thing. You ought to go into church to worship God and praise God and let God deal with those people. It's your duty to get in this word and study yourself. So when you hear something that don't sound right, the Holy Spirit is going to guide and direct you. No doubt. If something don't sound right, you may not get that instant confirmation from the Holy Spirit right then. Sometimes you do, but later on, it will be revealed to you what someone said was true or not. But people don't want to. People want things now to be handed to them, to be spoken to them. And you got to get in this word yourself. You got to read it word for word. You got to sit there and you got to be calm and let the Holy Spirit minister to you. And it just has made people, in my opinion, soft now. They just don't, we want things to be spoon-fed to us. And life is not going to spoon-feed you anything. And that's why we see these young adults. They don't want to go to church, some of them. You know, I can worship church at home, and they really don't get the real substance. When the power of believers are together in one place and the Spirit is really moving, people are set free. People get direction. People become more stronger. They know how to deal with the issues of tomorrow. But if you don't go to church and you were just going to rely on these social media platforms, I can't go back to that social media and speak to you, Doc. You ain't gonna be on the screen no more. It's gone. So we gotta keep praying, because I tell you, and we are some very dangerous times, and I'm not afraid if we don't get in this word and study this word ourselves and reconnect as a church. I don't know what the world may come to end. That I can't predict, but we are living in dark, evil, and last days. Thank you all for listening.
Amen. Thank you, Deacon Everett. You know, I thought about a lot of things as you were speaking. They're just dropping in my spirit. I'm open to whatever the Lord is putting in. You know, I thought of some scripture, you know, related to the things that you're saying. We are in that time. I just always, as I'm studying the word, as we're going through some things now, I'm renewing my faith in the fact that there's always a remnant of people. You know, no matter how we look at the majority of the people, it's always a remnant that's going to be there to make the change, to be dedicated to God. And so, you know, I thought about, you know, Jesus telling his disciples, when two or three of them are gathered in his name, he'll be in the midst. I think about Paul saying, forsake not the assembly of ourselves together. You know, and I think that the power of laying on of hands and like I said, I think corporate worship is like we all individual lights ourselves. We all individual candles. I used to think that analogy. If you have one candle, it shines bright. But if you put several candles together, the blaze is even greater. So when we come together, we can bring about a more powerful experience with our God. I think even in our lesson, we think about the Passover, the temple. That was their place of worship. It was a different type of thing that we think about, I guess, in terms of sacrifices and offerings and things like that. And, you know, and even getting ready for that. They didn't just go into Passover celebration. They got ready for it. And they had to be purged. The priests had to prepare themselves so that they can minister to the other people. And so, you know, I should think about that some years ago. You know, Pastor used to talk about, well, everybody waiting until they got to the church to get on fire. You know, what you do to prepare? You should have been getting prepared, but sometimes you're in the car fussing with the wife, fussing with the husband, getting on the kids, and you really ain't getting what you. But we should definitely have a heart to gather and to see God move amongst us. Some of the most powerful experiences that I'm sure all of us had when we gathered with other believers in our church buildings and sanctuaries. So that's a good thought, brother. I feel the solemnness in your thoughts and feeling the pain of what you're seeing, because you're seeing a lot more than I am, because I don't have Facebook, so I don't see it. But I hear about it. You know, and so I can understand what you're saying. And good word, brother. We receive it in the spirit in which you gave it, and in the heart that you've shown us. Amen, brother. Any other thoughts? You know, any other thoughts? We got to hear it. You know, and
you know, brother, you look at today's society. AI, artificial intelligence. It's common sense. It's artificial. It's not real. But we have a nation of children and even some adults that really think that this artificial intelligence is real. And they try to pattern their lives after it. And there's a lot of work to be done to change that mindset, because that stuff is deeply embedded in the minds of many people, and they are finding themselves not able to deal with when reality sets in. They can't deal with it. That's why you see all this violence, and you see, and you ask yourself, why are these children not acting out the way they're acting out? Why are they so angry? Why are they so bitter? Where all this hatred is coming? Because they sit here and they look at these platforms and they live by this artificial intelligence. It's telling the young man that if he has an idea to go rob somebody, that he can go rob somebody because he been listening to video game and he can get away with it. No, that don't work. Or that you got artificial intelligence families that they have created a fake family, and this is how the family is supposed to be operated, even with all their moral corrupt things that they put in their mindset. And it's like, well, that's what everybody's doing. And no, that's not what everybody's doing. That's what society has chose to make you think is what real life. Real life is getting God's word, learning God's word, trying to apply it to your life, and being able to assemble each other to get the wisdom, like we get on this line with Mother Cora and Brother John and others that speak life into us, that say, hey, baby, you're going down the wrong way. This is what you need to, this is what you should do. This is what I experienced, and this is what happened to me. I'm not going to say it'll happen to you, but this is the road I took, and this is what the outcome was. See, we need more of that, and it's hard when we're chasing a corporate society that is putting all this stuff out here. We got to start back one-on-one, getting these children and teaching them how to work with their hands and their minds instead of just using it to play on his cell phone. Show him life examples. Sit him down. Teach him how to tie a tie. Teach him how to change the oil in the car. Teach him how to change a tie. Teach him how to cook. See, all this stuff that they listen on social media, they think it's easy, but it's not easy. But what it does, it keeps your mind going. And then it creates a relationship. Then once you create a relationship, then you can start helping them with their own personal issues and guide them through life. Because the Bible tells the elder is supposed to teach the young, both male and female. But we have a nation of children that we just got to find a way to reach them, to help them. Because many of them are suffering now, but they just don't know how to communicate because they don't have those communication skills. They only have the cell phone or the computers or the tablets. And that's a danger because when they get out in the real world trying to find a job, many of them don't know how to articulate themselves in an interview. They just don't. So it's a lot of work to do, but thank you for the teaching.
Yes.
You know, we got to have leaders. We got to have leaders that are dedicated to helping people, not just wanting to have the biggest congregation or live in the fastest house or get these accolades from men and women. We need leaders that are genuinely concerned about loving people and teaching people so that they, too, can live an abundant and godly life. Thank you.
Amen, amen. We're going to continue to pray. We pray for our leaders. We pray in the church, like you say, and in other places, and that we know that it was said in Scripture, Jesus, that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We just pray that God will continue to send more to the vineyard to do the work, and each one teach one, each one love one, and like I say, show them the way. And we'll continue to see the church, I think, continue. We'll still have a remnant, and those that will come. The devil sends a strong delusion into the world, and his biggest weapon is deception. So if he can deceive us into believing things that are not real, then we will continue to hear that. But thank you for sharing, brother. Thank you for your thoughts. Thank you for your heart toward others and just the passion for the Lord and God's people and those that are lost. So we want to try to help this generation whatever we can. Amen. 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 So if there are no other comments, we're going to move to our superintendent, Uncle John, and see what thoughts he may have concerning this lesson today. And once he finishes his thoughts, as he sums us up, we're going to ask if Mother Corey, if she would sing a song and a closing prayer for us as she closes out. Maybe in between that, I'll give announcements that Dr. Singleton had left for us to share with you all as well. She did have some announcements. So, Uncle John, God bless you.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning. Good morning, Uncle John.
Good morning.
Brother Corey, Brother Edge, Pastor Kuiper, you really read your word this morning. You had studied that thing. Yeah, you can't jump up and start talking and ain't studied that word.
Lord have mercy.
I really enjoyed it because I got something out of it.
Amen.
This morning we thank you, Pastor Kuiper, for opening up for this morning, our opening scripture, Song 100, our opening prayer, Deacon Brother Everidge. Glad to have you with us, and just a wonder scripture reading. Did a wonderful job, and song of praise, Deacon Everidge again. Thank you and you. So it's been a wonderful lesson, ain't it? Too much more I can add to this thing because Pastor Kuiper, you dug deep. But let's look at a couple of verses here. Verse 18 and verse 19 from our lesson. And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept.
Mm.
And the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah, while this Passover kept. We want to talk this morning. Do not pass me by. Savior, do not pass. Joshua, Joseph, whoo, keep saying Joshua, Josiah was only 8 years old when he became king. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. He was a good reign as he carefully followed the good example of his ancestor, King David. Righteousness does not have nothing to do with how old you are. You can be 80. But when Josiah was 16 years old, in the 8 year of his reign, he began to search for the God of his ancestor, David. Josiah put God first. And 4 years later, he began to clean up Judah and Jerusalem, destroying the heathen's altar and the shame owls upon the hill. He went out personally to watch as the altars of Baal were knocked apart. Sometime before you can build up for God, he has to tear some things down. Is that right?
Amen.
And he burned the bone of the heathen priests upon their own altars, feeling that this action would clear the peoples of Judah and Jerusalem from the guilt of their sin for our worship. Let me tell you this morning that if you worship idols upon your altar, King Josiah is going to tear your altar down.
Right.
King Josiah raised some money and started repairing the temple. But one day when the men was working, the high priest Hilkiah found the book of the law under some rubbish. When Shaphan, the secretary, needed the book, read the book of the law to Josiah, the king tore his clothes, a sign of mourning and repentance. When you look at the way some of us are living in the world today, it just make you want to tear your clothes up.
Okay.
Josiah tore his clothes up. When Josiah heard the word of God and saw how far the people had strayed, he tore his clothes up. I just can't believe we are strayed this far from the word of God. Can I ask you a question this morning? How far have you strayed? So, Josiah kept the Passover. But some want to know, what does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
How did it get started? Down in Egypt, the Lord told Moses to let each household have a lamb. Your lamb shall be without a blemish. Kill it in the evening and take the blood and put it upon each side of the doorpost. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will spread all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the law. And the blood shall be to you a token upon the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass you over, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. We may not never to the land of Egypt, but in the land which we live, we're going to have the blood of the Lamb, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why I say this morning, Savior, do not pass me by. What are you doing when you celebrate the Passover? You have done the work of the Lord. Come on, help me celebrate this morning. Help me celebrate the work of the Lord. Celebrate the work of the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Lord, do not pass me by. Amen. How far have we strayed from the word of God? Amen.
Mm.
Amen. Brother John, God bless you again for thoughtful thoughts to make us think and focus us on some things we need to focus on so that we can get better. Amen. And tearing down, yeah, Josiah, tear it down. Sometimes you got to tear it down to build it up. Amen. Thank you so much, Uncle John. Always look forward to your thoughts and your words and what God gives you. And we do appreciate it. And just a blessing. I don't know. I heard Mother Cora responding. I don't know if she had a thought. Just responding.
Oh, I'm good.
Amen, amen. Well, praise be to our God. Let me give some remarks, Mother Corey, before you come and dismiss us with song and prayer. We get everybody involved. Thank God for y'all being on the line today, and I thank you for your thoughtful words and your kindness toward me, and I just pray that we can continue to talk, and we do try to gather together every night. We're looking forward to that. So here are the announcements that Dr. Singleton had given me to share. General reminders here, we are at Loaves and Fishes next Sunday, September the 29th, for 11 a.m. service. We will have Sunday school, and the plan is to provide a call-in, some call-in information so people can still call in to that service and session. This coming Tuesday, a week from this Tuesday, October the 1st, we're going to be at Loaves and Fishes again for an in-person Tuesday walk in the Word. And we'll still be online as well. We'll have some online capability for our out-of-town callers. And then hopefully as many as possible in the local area can come to Loaves and Fishes so we can be together for a face-to-face teaching as we walk through the Word. We'll be at chapter 12 in Book of Romans. That's a powerful one. It ties right into this in some way. I believe it. I heard it ringing in my head when I was studying, Uncle John. It's just powerful. And Mother Corey, you know, we love that particular chapter. So we look forward to that. And that's all the announcements I think I have. Sister Wanda for being on. I see her Sister Gloria was on, and some may have had to leave, some that came on. I don't know if Brother Al came on or not, but we just thank God for all of you did come to gather together today at the gathering place beyond the walls. And we'll ask Mother Corey, if you will, lead us out. Amen.
Amen. Psalm 108:1 says, "My heart, O God, is steadfast. I will sing and make music with all my soul. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary. Oh, for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Yes, 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 mold me. Yes, yes, mold me. And we'll say yes, 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 Lord, yes. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, oh, for you. Heavenly Father, we come now giving thanks and praises unto your name, thanking you for allowing us to assemble once again on this line. Thank you for your word that has come forth this day, Father. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, that I pray that there has been done what you would have for each of us to do, O Heavenly Father. Thanking you and blessing you, O Heavenly Father, for all that you do for each and every one of us. Remembering those that are ill this morning, Heavenly Father, knowing that you, O Heavenly Father, is the healer, O Heavenly Father. And I know in your word you said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else would be added. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you thanks for all your many blessings, because we know all good and perfect gifts come from thee, O Heavenly Father. And we lift our eyes to the hills, which cometh all our help. And we know, O Heavenly Father, that you said in Psalm 46, O Heavenly, that you are our present help in the time of trouble, O Heavenly Father. We are thanking you for being present with us, O Heavenly Father. We continue, O Heavenly Father, we can't thank you enough for all that you do for us, O Heavenly Father. But we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God bless everybody. Mother Neal, I know if you're still on the line, everybody, y'all have a blessed rest of your day. May God be with you every day this week.
I receive it, and same to you. Continue to study to show yourself approved as you did this morning, oh. And we give you, God, all the praise for you, thanking you for all that you do on this line as you come forth on Sunday morning, giving your word of encouragement to all of us. We thank you. I thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all. Love y'all.
Bless
Take
you.
Care.
Amen.
Oh, don't forget 7 o'clock. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.